blind say I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me.
Lord, thank you for your presence here today. And I pray that you would lead this service, that you would anoint every ear to hear. Father, that you'd bring encouragement this morning to all those that are hurting, all those that are struggling. And may our focus be put back on you. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I don't know if anybody else is warm. Are you guys warm? Tim, would you care to turn on the fan on this side? Nobody on this side said there's warm. Adam pointed his fan at me, so that's going to help. If I had some hair here, I'd get some, you know, effects going for y'all. But we're going to begin in Mark chapter 4. And title of the message today is Sailing Into the Storm. And I was really praying a lot about, it just seems like everybody that I talk to this week is facing something. I know it's not literally everybody, but so many people in our congregation are hurting. They're struggling with different issues, and so I was really praying, and I said, Lord, I want to encourage everybody. I want to bring encouragement, and I know that God's word brings encouragement, and so. This is kind of where the Lord led me. Mark 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." As I was thinking about this and praying and my mind came to I don't know why, I've never been duck hunting. Any duck hunters in here? No. So y'all, but I've got coworkers that duck hunt, and I know it's dangerous. And you guys remember, it was probably 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, the people from Fort Smith, the young men that died duck hunting, the storm come up and swamped their boat, and it was cold water. You hear about that happening all the time. So being out in a boat and being swamped by waves is a scary thing. Now, I've never personally experienced that. I've been on water and the waves got rough, and that was enough to make me get a little bit fearful, but to actually have the waves coming into the boat, I'm just thinking, wow, I would have been just like the disciples, terrified. What always gets me about this story is Jesus directed them. Jesus had directed them to go to the other side. Jesus was the one that pointed them in that direction. And church, sometimes in our life, when we're following God's path, we're going to sail right into a storm. You know, sometimes we think when we hit a storm, oh, we're in the wrong place. We went in the wrong direction. Something's wrong if we're in the middle of a storm. But really, sometimes that's right where the Lord has directed us. And we have to remember that sometimes when we're in the middle of the storm, we're right where the Lord wants us to be. And as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the severity of the situation, but it didn't shake Jesus in his faith, did it? And sometimes if you're in a very severe situation, I don't know about y'all, but my faith gets shaken. But Jesus' faith was not shaken. he says to them, why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid? He's right there with you. Why are you so afraid? And I wonder this morning, you guys may be putting on your good face, but there might be fear in some of y'all's hearts. That was me raising my hand. I wonder if Jesus is looking down this morning at you personally and saying, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? He says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I get mad at myself sometimes because I haven't written down. Mitzi even bought me a prayer journal. That's probably been 10 years ago, to write down my prayers and when they're answered. And I never did do it. And I still don't do it, but I'm mad at myself. Why don't you write that stuff down? Because sometimes when your faith is shaken, it's nice to look back and just remember all that the Lord's done for you. And how He's answered prayers in ways that you couldn't have imagined Him answering them. And to look back, and to me, that strengthens my faith. But sometimes fear comes in and it grabs hold of us, and I think the Lord's asking me this morning, this message may just be for me, why are you so afraid? Don't you trust me? Don't you still have faith? Don't you know that I can handle these situations even when the storms seem big, even when the waves are crashing in? And if waves are crashing in, a boat's getting ready to sink. It's taking on water. And sometimes in our life, does it not feel like we're about to sink? Like the waves just keep coming and the waves just keep coming? Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If we can't rely upon the Word of God, then we can't rely upon anything. That's the truth. If this is not the grounds for our life, the cornerstone of our life is Jesus Christ, and this Word is truth, and if we can't rely upon the Word of truth, then we are going to sink. But He's saying, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But how many times are we in fear going, God, where are you? Have you ever cried out, God, where are you in this circumstance? Why, where are you, God? I don't know what's going on. Why am I in this storm? Why are the waves crashing in? Why is my life falling apart? But He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Verse 8 says, the Lord Himself goes before you, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It's repeated just a verse later. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. So what's the storms in your life? What have you been facing? What are the things that are making you really stretch your faith and say, God, I believe you. I believe God is able, but we're still in fear. We still have some doubts creep in. We still don't know exactly how to handle these situations. I want to jump over a few chapters to Mark chapter 9. And this story here about the demon-possessed boy, I think the father, it's going to characterize so many today. It characterizes me at different times in my life. And 9 verse 14, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet Him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It often throws him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." I want to stop right there for just a minute. When you look at what's going on in the world and the suicide rates, they're skyrocketing. They're skyrocketing even in children. What does Satan want to do? He wants to kill and destroy us. And I believe that there's very much a demonic presence taking place in our society today that's killing all these kids and teenagers, that they think there's no hope, that there's nothing to live for any longer. And here we can see that the demon is trying to kill this kid. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked how long the boy's been like this. "From childhood. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And that's the verse right there that I think sometimes many of us are at. God, if you can. Verse 23, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I've been there. God, I know you can. God, I know you're able. God, I'm praying in this situation or I'm praying in that situation. But then what happens? Doubt creeps in. Well, maybe this isn't God's will. Maybe this isn't. Or God, and doubt and fear and anxiety and stress come in. And then I'm just like that boy's father. God, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I think many of us are in the middle of storms in our life and we're full of fear, we're full of anxiety, and Jesus is looking down going, "Why are you so afraid?" And we're just crying out, "Jesus, help me with my unbelief. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief." Does that make sense to y'all this morning? It makes perfect sense to me. Lord, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief, because there's doubts, there's fears, there's things that come into our heart, there's things that come into our mind. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that the man said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." There's a few things right there that I've seen. One is that, what did Jesus do to the little boy? He took him by the hand. Remember when Peter was sinking in the storm, and he cried out to Jesus, and what did Jesus do? He took him by the hand. Jesus will take you by the hand this morning. I promise you He will. When you cry out to Him, when you say, "Lord, help me. I need help. God, help me. I'm in this situation. I don't understand. God, I have doubts. I have fears. I have anxiety. Help me with my unbelief." And Jesus reached out and took this little boy's hand. But I also think it's interesting that he told his disciples, "This kind can only come out by prayer." And I wonder how many of us are living in doubt. We're living in fear. We're living in anxiety because we're not in prayer. We think prayer is an afterthought. We say, "Oh Lord, bless my food." My family sometimes, I always think of the verse about you won't be heard because of your many words. And a lot of times when I pray just like I'm talking to you, and I ask the Lord to bless my food. But can I tell you something? There's times that we need to stop. We need to really talk and listen to the Lord and spend that time with Him and pray. That's how I get to know y'all. These dinners that we have, the stuff that we're having, it's not just for entertainment and fun. Yeah, it is, and I love all that. But I want to get to know y'all. I want to sit and visit with y'all. I want to hear about your week, your day, your month. That's how we get to know each other. And y'all, that's what prayer and reading the Word in prayer is doing. It's getting to know our Heavenly Father, and it's spending time with Him. And He says this kind can only come out by prayer. But what did He tell him? How long am I going to put up with you, you unbelieving generation? See, that time in prayer builds the belief, builds your faith, builds your strength. It all works together, getting to know our Lord and Savior. If you believe. Do you believe this morning? And I want to go to another story about a storm. Acts 27. I was going to read this whole thing, but I'm trying to condense it down a little bit. So let's start in verse 20. So Paul and them are sailing, and they're in this storm, and the waves are crashing in. This is like hurricane force winds. And in verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You ever been there? You're giving up all hope? God, I just throw up my hands. Verse 21, after the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss." Isn't that kind of a, "I told you so"? I told you. I told you not to do this, but you didn't listen. "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" They're in a storm. They're all worried. They're all scared. They've given up hope. But Paul says, "I told you so, but you know what? I have faith that God's going to take care of us. And God's not only going to take care of me, He's going to take care of all of you too." They're going to suffer some loss though, right? They got to run their ship aground. There's going to be some casualty of things. Verse 27, on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. You think about that, 14 days. 14 days they're in the middle of this storm. Some of you may have been in that storm with a loved one in the hospital for weeks or months, or sickness that's debilitating, or struggles with a prodigal child, or a sick parent or something, and days and weeks go by, and you're still in the middle of the storm. When about midnight the sailors sensed that they were approaching land, they took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later they took soundings again and found that it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboats down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. As I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how many of us would be kind of like those sailors and thinking, "I'm going to get out of this situation and I'm going to make a way myself. I'm gonna sneak off. I'm gonna do what it takes. I'm gonna leave that situation. It's a sinking ship, and I'm gonna abandon ship." Many people do that with God. They say, "God, I've followed you. I've been faithful. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm walking in obedience. And this storm just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's lasting longer and longer. I'm gonna abandon ship." I just thought about when Peter, after Jesus was crucified, and what did he say? "I'm going back fishing. I'm going back fishing." And many of us will abandon ship when we're in the middle of a storm, and we'll compromise our morals, and we'll compromise what we know best, and we'll compromise what the Lord has instructed us to do because the storm is just too violent and we're abandoning ship. So verse 33, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspension, have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudder. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding surf. But what happens? They all make it. They jump out. Some of them swim. Some of them float on wood. But they all make it. And I wasn't going to read this next part, but it's just so much how life is. You've made it through one storm. You've made it to the ground. And what happens? Just a few verses later in 28 and verse 3, Paul gathering a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Isn't that how life is, though? Man, you make it through one storm. You make it through this big storm, and all at once you think, "Oh, I'm safe. Everything's good," and then you're hit with something else. All of us face that. All of us have faced that at different times in our life. And the reality is, are we saying all hope is lost? When we're facing different kinds of storms, we've all faced different kinds of storms. You think about the physical of that child. Here's this man with his child, and he's saying he's been like this since he was little, and I've just given up. But help me with my unbelief, Lord, if you can. And you think, I don't know about y'all, but I can't think of anything harder than seeing your kid suffer. I can't. There's nothing worse as a parent than to see my kids either hurting physically or emotionally or whatever it is. I heard once someone say that you're only as happy as your saddest child. And I thought, there's a lot of truth to that. There's no greater pain to me than to see my kids in any kind of situation, and they're hurting, and I just want to fix it. And this man, his child was hurting. The storm that he was in. And you think of the other storms, a literal storm where the waves are crashing in on life. And I got to thinking about just all the different storms that we're in at different times. And I thought about financially. How many of you have ever been in a financial storm? I remember there are times that it was like we had 10 or 15 bucks to make it for a week. I mean, it was tough when we first started out. And man, we were so reliant upon God. But I look back at those times and I think of how they formed us and how they shaped us. And looking back, it's like, man, those were good times. They were tough times, but they were good times. But when you're in the middle of it and you feel like you're sinking, Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we can we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I think about the storms that we get in because we've not kept our lives free from the love of money and we're not content with what we have. I've shared the stories before where I've went and bought things and done deals and stuff and it's like, I shouldn't have done that. And 2 or 3 months later, I regret it. Why? Because I wasn't content with what I had. But I love that Jesus, God is saying, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's repeated again. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And these verses just keep going and over in my mind. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And I've got that underlined. Cares for you. God cares for you this morning. I hadn't been doing very good at this, and that's why I'm preaching it. I really haven't. Because my anxiety's been building. And I've been stressed with situations. I had a guy at work come up to me this last week and ask me if I'd become bitter. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, you just don't seem the same as you used to be. And I started laughing and I was like, I'm fine. I'm really fine. But I'm really not. Stuff's weighing on me. I've been stressed and I've been worried and I think I put on a good show. And this guy's not even like a super, super close friend. And he says, something wrong. I told Crystal, I said, I am different than I used to be because I used to be a big mouth and I used to like to be the center of attention. And I said, I've really found lately I just have nothing to say and I'm kind of quiet. I'm way more quiet than I used to be and I don't really have much to say. I'm just kind of being quiet and doing my job. But I said, it's funny how other people are perceiving me differently and I didn't even know it. But there are things weighing on me and there has been anxiety and there has been stress that nobody knows about. But it's affected me. And can I truly go, God, I trust You have it. I like to say I can, but to say it and live it's another thing. To truly say, God, I trust. Yesterday, we were invited by a guy from work to go ride four-wheelers. And I'm hoping I can plan up a trip for anybody from church that has four-wheelers or side-by-sides to go because it's really a neat place. But this was supposed to be a work thing. And most of y'all know Casey and Colton work with me, and they were invited too. And I just get on the interstate, and my truck breaks down. We're on the side of the highway and Colton was in front of me. Can y'all believe that? Colton was in front of me. He likes to drive. And Colton was in front of me. I called him. I said, Colton, y'all just go. I said, y'all go and enjoy the day. Have fun. We're not far from Van Buren. I said, Hayden was following in his car. And I said, he's going to go get my stepdad's truck. I'm going to call a tow truck. I said, you know, we may end up trying to catch up with y'all later, but just go. But Colton couldn't leave me, and he spun around on the side of that interstate, and then here Casey pulls up behind me, and these two guys, Crystal said, they're just amazing, their positive attitude, and we're not leaving y'all behind, y'all's coming and enjoying the day with us, and Colton's tearing apart my truck and pulling stuff out, and he's like, we can fix it, and sent Hayden to the parts store, and had my truck back running and going within an hour, no tow truck, no nothing, and we went and we rode the rest of the day. They didn't leave me behind. Even when I told them, leave me behind, y'all go, I don't want to mess up your fun. They didn't leave me behind. You know, some of you this morning, you might feel like you've been left behind. You might feel like you've been abandoned. And maybe you have by friends. Maybe you have been by family members. Maybe it's been parents. Maybe it's been children. Maybe it's been people that you thought would never betray you, that people that you love. Maybe it's even you feel like the church has left you. There's so many hurts. There's so many pains that we fight through. But can I tell you something? God says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And as Isaiah 40:28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. Are you weary this morning? He can give you strength and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not be faint. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how God's saying, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. That if you'll put your trust in me, you're going to soar on wings of eagles. And this last week, I had two deliveries up Mount Magazine. One of them I went up to the lodge, and one of them I only went about halfway up the mountain. But both days it was really windy, and there was all these birds up there. And you know what they were doing? They were soaring. And you know what they were doing? Nothing but had their wings spread. And the wind was taking care of the rest. They were just spread out. And I saw this one bird, and he took about 3 or 4 flaps, and then he caught something and just soaring. And it got me thinking, what is the definition of soaring? And it says to fly or rise high in the air. The bird spreads its wings and soars into the air. And I looked up Webster's, and it says to fly aloft or about, to sail or hover in the air, often at a great height, to fly without engine power and without loss of altitude, to rise or increase dramatically as in portion to value or price. I think that's interesting. That's another definition of soaring. You're rising in value. The third definition, to ascend to a higher or more exalted level. And the fourth definition is to rise to a majestic stature. When we put our trust in the Lord and we wait upon the Lord, we will soar like wings of eagles. And you think about that, is stretching out your arm, and it says with no engine power and just a reliance upon the Lord. And it's not by my might, it's not by my strength, it's not by my knowledge figuring it out, but it's saying, God, I'm waiting on you, I'm waiting on your direction, and because I've been in prayer, because I know your voice, and I'm not going to live in anxiety, and I'm not going to live in fear, and I know that you're not going to abandon me, and I know that you're not going to leave me behind, and that you're going to give me strength, and that I'm going to soar. In verse 10 of chapter 41 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What storm are you facing? Some of y'all, I know you're facing more than I can imagine. Some of y'all, maybe you hadn't sailed into it yet, but the storms of life are coming. All of us face it. Every one of us. This morning, would you cry out to Jesus and said, help me with my unbelief? Would you cry out to Jesus and say, God, I need your strength because I can't do this on my own. Would you wait upon the Lord and be exalted and lifted so that you can soar above the storm and above the clouds? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. You know where I'm at. You know what I need to lay at your feet this morning and the storms that I've been facing in my own heart and my own mind. Father, I pray that you would forgive me for my unbelief and that my faith might grow stronger as I trust in you. Lord, for everybody in this room this morning that they're facing different trials, different storms, physical, financial, circumstances, things that all of us go through, Father. May we rely upon you and your strength this morning. May you bring encouragement to all those that just feel so weary on the inside, that just feel so anxious, that they would cry out to you this morning, that they would feel your presence, and that you would give them direction, and that each and every one of us would understand that we need to have a better prayer life so that our faith may grow, that our understanding may grow. May your will be done now with every life in this room. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if you need encouragement this morning, I'd love to pray with you. But God's here and His presence here. And He can and He will strengthen each and every one of you. One verse that I skipped over, but it's Hebrews 5:8. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. You know, sometimes in life, that's what it takes. The things that we're going through, we don't realize how God is working that out in our life to make us better men and better women. So I encourage you this morning, if you're suffering, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. He won't leave you behind. Just like Casey and Colton didn't leave me behind yesterday, they helped me. And they're human, and they make mistakes. Think about a God who loves you so much, who is perfect. He knows what you need when you need it. And He can deliver you. Do not fear. Have faith. I'm preaching that to myself. Do not fear and have faith. Round 6 o'clock tonight, anybody that wants to come, like I said, we're going to have we're going to set up the microphone in the back if anybody wants to sing. If you never get a chance to sing, it's your chance tonight. Karaoke. Well, maybe not karaoke, but going to stuff some Easter eggs. We got some cookies and just have a time back there. Like I said, I think I've got a verse or two to share tonight and probably have some time to pray together and just hang out. Next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. Invite all your friends, invite all your family, and hopefully they'll be here for Easter Sunday. And so, y'all have a blessed week.